Good morning. The reading this morning is taken from Exodus, chapter 5, starting at verse 22. Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, why have you brought trouble on his people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on his people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Excuse me. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Excuse me. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, 'I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord.'" Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go, tell Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country." This is the word of the Lord.
May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. My name is Francis Young, and I'm a licensed lay minister here at Christ the Servant King. Now, I want to begin this morning by talking about an old geezer. And I don't mean anyone in this congregation. It's actually one of the most famous geezers in the world. You may have heard of it. Here we are. And it's located in Yellowstone National Park in the USA, and it's called Old Faithful. Now, this nickname comes from the fact that the geezer is unfailingly reliable. And in fact, it will spew hot water into the air every between 44 and 125 minutes. So never shorter an interval than 44, never longer an interval than 125 minutes. So Old Faithful is faithful because the geezer can always be relied upon to do exactly the same thing and to do that thing when we expect it to happen. Now, a quick reading of the book of Exodus, or indeed any other book of the Bible, will show us that God really isn't anything like the geezer Old Faithful. Because unlike a geezer, God is profoundly unpredictable. And if anyone thinks that God is faithful because he always does the same thing and always responds in the same way, then I'm afraid they're soon going to be disappointed. So what do we mean when we call God faithful? Well, I want to try and answer that question this morning. But I also want to look at a related question. Why isn't God predictable like the geezer? Well, all I can say is that if God were predictable, then God wouldn't be God. When someone or something is predictable, that means that we understand them. That means that we have a complete grasp of everything that they're going to do. And God, by definition, is beyond our understanding. He can't be contained within human expectations. He always exceeds them. And every time someone encounters God in the Old Testament, they discover this, and they often find out the hard way. Very often, human beings in the Bible come to God with expectations of who he is or how he will behave, only to have those expectations completely confounded. And Moses is no exception. Notice, at the start of this morning's passage from Exodus, Moses accuses God of not doing what Moses expected God to do. If we could have the next slide, please. Ooh. Thank you. Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. God, the way Moses sees it, has failed to be faithful. God promised that by sending Moses to speak to Pharaoh, he would free the Hebrews from slavery. And of course, this is exactly what God does, but not in the way and not in the time frame that Moses anticipated. God's answer to Moses tells us immediately what Moses has got wrong. Because God replies, if we could have the next slide, please. I don't think the clicker is working. Thank you. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. By my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. Now the key words there, because of my mighty hand. Not because of you, Moses. Moses, as any human being would, has assumed that because God chooses to use him as a messenger, therefore he will somehow be responsible for the freeing of God's people. Somehow it will be down to Moses. But obeying God doesn't work like that. We don't get to take credit for God's work. And we also have to accept that acting in obedience to God may have consequences for our lives. God's command turned Moses into a figure of hate for the Hebrews. They saw him as a peddler of false promises. They blamed him for what they saw as his failure to deliver God's promise. And the reality is that if we serve and follow Jesus Christ, we will sometimes get blamed when things go wrong. People rarely blame God directly, but they're all too ready to blame those who claim to follow God and to minister on his behalf. So at this point in the book of Exodus, Moses finds himself in a very unenviable position. He thinks that God has given him an impossible task, and he is between a rock and a hard place. Specifically, between an arrogant Pharaoh who won't listen to God's warnings because Pharaoh thinks he is a god, and an enslaved people who are so broken in spirit that they will not hear Moses' message of hope. Consider what the passage says. But they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. So for altogether different reasons, arrogance on the part of Pharaoh and despair for the Hebrews, neither Pharaoh nor the Hebrews are prepared to listen. They are not able to listen. Now, when people are unable to listen, God has a way of dealing with that. He acts instead of speaking. But at the same time, God sends Moses as his prophet so that the Hebrews know that God is acting in fulfillment of a promise, that he is being faithful. Consider what God says. I have remembered my covenant. It's important to note that God will not make anyone listen to him. God will only cooperate with our human freedom by presenting us with choices. God, through Moses, gives Pharaoh a very clear choice, but Pharaoh chooses not to listen. We've all heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. And when we refuse to listen, God will often choose to act instead. Listen to what God says about that. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. The reality is that recognizing that God is faithful to his promises requires us to be faith-filled. Because God doesn't always fulfill his promises in the way that we expect and at the time that we expect. And this isn't just because God's priorities are very different for ours. It's also because God wants us to change. On the face of it, the story of the book of Exodus is about God acting at this particular historical time to free his people from a condition of slavery in Egypt. But Exodus is also about an inner change that God brings about in his people, not just then, not just in those people that God was freeing from slavery in Egypt, but in everyone, in every people, in every individual who has followed God ever since. And that change transforms God's people from being slaves into being a free people. Now, God can't force the Hebrews to stop being slaves. That would just mean a different kind of slavery. Being a slave means that choices are made for you and you're forced to do things. But God will not make our choices for us, but he will give us choices. The story of Exodus is the story of how an enslaved people become a people capable of making their own decisions and choosing the path that God sets before them. And although Exodus is the story of a whole people, that message applies equally to individuals. Now, many of us still have a journey to make from being unfree to freedom in Christ. But we can't make that journey without knowing that God is faithful, that he will keep his promises. And God's promises are about our relationship with him. Because once we stop being slaves, we become family. We become the family of God. God's promises then are not vague assurances of goodwill for humanity. No, they are promises about the future that we have with him. So, to summarize on our final slide, what does Exodus and this part of the story of Moses teach us about God's faithfulness? Well, first of all, God keeps his promises. You could argue that this is the central theme, not just of the book of Exodus, but of the entire Old Testament. It's all about God making promises and delivering on those promises. Secondly, our God is unpredictable. He's not like that geezer, Old Faithful. And that unpredictability doesn't mean that God is unfaithful. It means that his ways are so unlike our ways that we will sometimes struggle to see how God is fulfilling his promise. And that's part of the Christian life. Thirdly, God acts in his time, not in ours. And that can be one of the biggest challenges of being a Christian, to keep hold of our trust in God's faithfulness when he seems to be delaying. But we need to remember, finally, that God is faithful not just to his promises, but faithful to his relationship with us. Faithful to a relationship with a free people rather than a bunch of slaves. And this is why each one of us must go on the same journey as the Hebrews in the book of Exodus. We must go on a journey from slavery to freedom, and a journey from fear to trusting in a faithful God. Amen.